Hello, friends, and welcome to Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting live from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM here in beautiful Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle in the United States. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place. And I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this earth a much better place. I want to thank everyone so much for listening today and making Out of This World Radio one of the most popular talk shows in the Seattle area. And now we have over 250,000 listeners in over 90 countries. And I just want to thank everyone so much for their beautiful support. During the first hour from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. Seattle time today, I'll be interviewing my good friend Simon Parks live from the United Kingdom. Then from 3 to 3:30 p.m., I'll be interviewing a fascinating gentleman named Aurelien Rado, who regularly sees orbs and fairies from the fourth and fifth dimensions. We'll be talking about his pictures and the messages that he has from orbs and fairies. Then from 3:30 to 4, I'll be interviewing another wonderful person named Natalie St. Tours, who's been channeling and talking to Mother Mary, Jesus, and God, and other archangels since she was a little girl. She's written a new book called Unlimited Light of Creation, and we'll be talking about her book and her beautiful work. Before we start, I'd like to thank everyone so much for their support of this radio program. We're supported entirely by donations. And for those who'd like to donate, please go to our webpage at www.outofthisworld1150.com and just click on it. I want to thank everyone so much for supporting the program and for helping me raise consciousness and make this world a much better place. With that, I'd like to thank my good friend Carol, who's been designing my website, providing wonderful support, my friends in the Galactic Alliance, and my angelic and earthly family, and of course, KKNW. I spoke to a wonderful lady in Kansas yesterday named Maureen, who gave me a really nice compliment. She said that my program was really changing people's lives in a really good way by enlightening and helping them. And that made me feel really good because that's the purpose of this program, is to make the world a much better and happier place. I want to tell people that I have a spiritual mentoring program where I teach people how to contact their angels and spirit guides. And if you'd like to get in touch with your loved ones who've passed on, or contact your guides and get some good spiritual advice, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can call me here in the United States at 509-750-9793. Simon's on the waiting for us now, but I just want to make a few more announcements, and then we'll bring him on. My next Galactic Wisdom Conference, my fifth annual, will be held at the same location in Olympia, Washington, south of Seattle, from April 12th to the 16th. The website is www.galacticwisdomconference.com. We'll have some of the world's best psychic healers and UFO people, including Aaron Elizabeth of Help Nut News and Simon Parks, who will be giving a presentation. The cost for the three-day conference is $125, and if you'd like to register, please send me an email or visit our website. My email address, again, is outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. Briefly, I want to tell you about a few of our sponsors. Denise Bartlett is a sponsor of this program, and she's a wonderful lady who does hot water healing and life coach sessions in the Portland, Oregon area. She creates customized water with structured water, and her website is www.highhotto.com. She's a certified hotto instructor, and she uses water to help people with physical and spiritual conditions. She's a wonderful lady, and if you like, please call her at 425-306-6316. Or you can email her at denise.barrett, B-A-R-R-E-T-T, at highhotto.com. Also, Rock Codwell is a good friend of mine. He's been at my conferences the last few years. He has a new health food store in Duval, Washington, and their website is www.rawvegansource.com. He's a wonderful fellow, and I hope you can check out his website. After my conference in April at the Galactic Wisdom Conference, I'll also be visiting the Hopi Reservation in Arizona with a small group of people from April 20th to the 28th. We'll be meeting Hopi elders and participating in some sacred ceremonies. If you'd like to come, the cost is just $200 per person, and just send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. Also, I'll be returning to Mount Shasta, California this year from July 2nd to the 8th. And again, from September 5th to the 11th, 2019. Mount Shasta is a very special, magical place where miracle healings occur. And last September, for example, the Talosians and the high priest of Mount Shasta, Adama, healed the vision in my right eye. At one time, for many years, I had a blurred, far-sighted vision in my right eye, 20/50 vision. But after my visit with him in the Talosians last September, my eyesight has been restored to 20/10 crystal clear eyesight in both eyes. And if you'd like to come, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. Tomorrow I'll be at the, and on Sunday I'll be at the wonderful Triad Theater in Yelm, Washington, giving readings, and I hope you can come. The event's free. Also, on Saturday, February 16th, I'll be having a special Valentine's Day Love Psychic Fair from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. in Olympia, Washington at 9101 Stillicum Road. During the fair, I'll be giving readings and teaching people how to teach, how to find their sweethearts. It should be fun, and I hope you can come. And finally, on March 16th, Michiko Hayashi will be making a special appearance from Tokyo at 9101 Stillicum Road. She'll be giving specialized Hado treatment sessions there. And if you'd like to have a Hado session with her, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. These are the same treatments that Dr. Masaru Emoto used to treat over 10,000 people before he passed away in 2014. Finally, I want to thank everyone so much who helped me in getting a new car. My other car had a lot of problems recently. And with that, I'd like to thank Gracia in Seattle, Bill in Seattle, John in Federal Way, and Fiona and Sandy in Los Angeles, Emma and Louise and Jan Eric in Norway, Natalie in Port Orchard, Dorothy in Canada, Zendika in Yelm, Washington, Eddie in Hong Kong, and Sandra and Dave in California. And thank you so much, everyone, for their wonderful help. And with that, I'd like to bring in my good friend Simon from England. And we have lots to talk about today. Simon, are you there?
Hello, Ted. Yes, I'm here.
Oh, good. Good. What an amazing time to be alive. I know I saw on your website this morning you just posted a piece about Pelosi has denied President Trump the use of the House from addressing Congress.
Yeah, I think you guys call it the State of the Nation address. It is in her legal remit. It's her prerogative to do that. The leader or the Speaker of the House has the right to invite or not. In practice, it's not done, because why would you want to stop the president from addressing, the lawmakers and, of course, the citizens? And what I said on my website was that, yes, we know it's politics, but the problem is that America is very proud of its constitution. And Great Britain, we don't have a constitution. I know that's quite crazy, but we don't. And the way we have laws is literally we call it by precedent. So in, say, in 1420, somebody makes a decision, and then 100 years later, the same decision needs to be made. What lawmakers do is they go back to that decision in 1420 and said, oh, well, we decided it that way then, so we'll do the same. Now, what you guys have got is a constitution which lays down what you can and can't do. So by not inviting the President of the United States, it is beginning to draw the Constitution in. It's beginning to spill out from purely a political fight into something that's beginning to challenge the Constitution. So it wasn't a clever move. It's rather childish. I bet both players, both Trump and Pelosi, can be childish, but it's not what you expect of a senior lawmaker. And I think it's very sad that the Constitution is not being threatened. Of course it's not, but the greatness of America is somewhat now being tarnished by infighting. That's what we call it in Great Britain, infighting.
Sure, absolutely. There have been rumors, and I've gotten several questions in from listeners, Simon, about that Chuck Schumer, a senator from New York, and Nancy Pelosi from California have actually received money from the Mexican mafia to stop the border wall from being built. I don't know if you've heard anything, but there's been a persistent rumor.
I haven't had any information along that line. Okay. What I think is where we don't have the full in 2016, 2017, one arm of the FBI, one arm of the FBI was investigating one senator and another arm was investigating another senator. There's a great deal of, from what I've seen, there's a great deal of evidence against certain people that have deliberately been held back because they're all going to be used at one fell swoop. In other words, what we're seeing at the moment are attacks against President Trump. You know, we've talked about, we haven't yet talked about, but obviously Stone was arrested, indicted. But what's interesting is that none of those charges relate to deals with Russia. Mm-hmm. And this is the problem that you know, like the liberal press have got their facts wrong, and they're saying that Stone is being, you know, charged with collusion with Russia. Actually, I've seen the charges, mm-hmm. and they don't. The charges relate to leaks of information to WikiLeaks, mm-hmm. and to not being truthful with a committee of Congress. Yeah. So there's nothing to do with Russia, but it's everything to do with who's been leaking information to WikiLeaks. Hmm. So what we've got is we've got Mueller's investigation on one side, mm-hmm. which piecemeal by piecemeal comes out. Mm-hmm. And President Trump is quite right, actually, when he tweets. He said, who let off CNN? Why was CNN available to at the door of Stone to take pictures? But the other side, the questions that have to be asked about Hillary Clinton and some of her associates, those haven't gone away. What's happening is those have been drawn aside, mm-hmm. and are being added to. Now, this is giving a false impression to ordinary people who are just seeing this sort of one-way street of information. Mm-hmm. So I'm saying to people, just wait a minute, because, yes, lots of people have been indicted, but nobody has actually brought any evidence saying that President Trump is corrupt. Nobody's brought any evidence saying he was in collusion with Russian. Mm-hmm. You know, and there comes a point when the Mueller inquiry will just have to conclude that it's got as far as it can get. The reality mm-hmm. is that America is a great country. Mm-hmm. It's one of the greatest countries in the world. Well, I know Americans would say they were the greatest country in the world. Mm-hmm. But the point is that it doesn't do anyone any good, all of this washing of dirty laundry in public.
Sure.
In terms of this, and really and truly, there are other more important aspects that need to be dealt with. All I'm saying is that this actually is all small fry. There is some far more serious stuff in the pipeline, which does need to come out in the public domain.
Mm-hmm. It'll be interesting this year, and I think this is a time of truth, Simon, where things that have been hidden for so long will be coming out, and people will be seeing things that I think they'll be frankly amazed about. I know we've talked before about the sealed indictments. Are there more indictments now, or is that number stable?
I haven't had any more updates on it, Ted. You know, it's got to be this year. Mm-hmm. It really has.
Sure. Sure.
Because if it's not this year, then I don't really see what's the point in hanging it on.
Sure.
And I've always been of the mind that, you know, it is time to do this now. It's time to get these things opened. It's time to deal with it. And I do hear and I do read an awful lot about people saying that they're being opened in secret and, sure. you know, this all happening undercover. Well, actually, that's not really good enough.
Mm-hmm.
If indictments are being actioned and they're of a very serious nature, I do believe it needs to be public, because otherwise, what confidence are we giving the audience? I don't mean the radio audience, I mean the audience of the world. What mm-hmm. confidence are we giving them that real truth can outweigh the evil?
Sure.
So, you know, I can understand, and I think I probably said it before, I can understand why a handful of indictments probably have to be handled in a way that I don't like, but I can understand why they want to be handled quietly and out of the public eye. But I expect all the rest of them to be handled in a very public way,
mm-hmm.
simply because, well, look, if we talk about, and I've said it again on other shows, if you think about Nuremberg at the end of the Second World War,
mm-hmm.
They showed some of the horrors from some of these prison camps.
Right.
And that was the way they wanted to show people what had been going on.
Sure.
And if people go onto YouTube, they can see, you know, real life footage taken of the Nuremberg court case. Well, This is no different in the sense that if it's a very big story, it needs to be shown and aired in public. And I appreciate that there are a great deal of people who do not want evidence about Hillary Clinton or the Clinton Foundation. You know, they really are invested in not letting that information come out. Sure. But then there's another group that is invested in getting that information out. And if we believe in truth, then let's just have the information out and let's all make our decisions for ourselves. After all, we are men and women. Let us make the decision. Let's not be told. Let us have the information and we can decide what we want to do with it.
And this leads into UFO disclosure, doesn't it? I mean, about the secret space program, Simon, about all the information that's been hidden from the majority of humanity here on the planet. Wonderful medical cures that I hear persistent rumors about. Cures for cancer, for example, cures for aging, that's kept from most of the people here on this planet.
Yes. I mean, when's the last time a president of the United States died of cancer? When's the last time somebody really, really powerful died less than 90-odd years old? That is proof positive that those people that are favored or are part of the elite have the special protection of the elite, while everyone else doesn't have that. So, you know, it's quite clear that there is a medical history or there's a resource for one group of people. Sure. And for the vast majority of everyone else, that's not allowed. In terms of disclosure, you know, President Trump has done quite well to start talking about a space force.
Right.
You remember that famous chat? He said, we've got an air force, and don't you think we should have a space force? Now, what he's done there is he's threatening the people who are trying to keep this secret and saying, I am going to talk about a space force, whether you like it or not. And by authorizing the so-called creation of a space force, he's going one step towards disclosure that there is. And I mean, I don't know how he's going to handle it, but he might just turn around and say, oh, look, we've got a fleet of 20 ships.
Right.
So, you know, he's done more than any other president in terms of this disclosure.
Sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. There's a whole bunch of questions, and we could go lots of different ways now, Simon, but I wanted to get back to Robert Mueller before we slip into other topics. A lot of civil libertarians have have had a lot of concerns about the charges filed by Mr. Mueller. Both Jerry Corsi, who's an investigative reporter for World News Daily, and Roger Stone this morning. And I had one question from one listener asking blankly, very directly, is Mr. Mueller trying to stop the First Amendment here in the United States?
I know. I don't think it's coming from that perspective. I think what's coming is that, right, this might be a bit of a shock for many of your regular audience won't be shocked by what I'm going to tell them. Okay. But there may be new members, new audience members who are perhaps just coming to spirituality and may be shocked. What I want to tell them is this, that the vast majority, that doesn't mean everybody, the vast majority of senior lawmakers are being blackmailed. And how they do it, how they do it is they either film them or they audio tape them. And then this, whatever they've got, is then held in a secure location. And as long as that lawmaker doesn't threaten any policy that they've created or any instrument or any machine they've created in terms of law, that lawmaker is left alone. But if that lawmaker does something that they don't like, or if they wish to put pressure on them, they then threaten them with this piece of, which is genuine, this piece of recording or what have you. Now, what some of these, I'm being very careful with my words now, what some of these very senior people will do is they will be told, unless you pursue this course of action right to the very end, we will release this. So lots of individuals are facing destruction in terms of having this released, whereas they've got a fighting chance, in politics, sure, to do something. So in terms of Mueller's case, I don't believe he's setting out to get away or destroy the First Amendment. But what I think he's doing is he's under absolute orders to pursue something in a way that perhaps even they didn't pursue Richard Nixon.
Interesting.
So Mueller is doing things that were not even done by the investigators into Watergate.
Mm. Interesting. Well, thank you, Simon. You always have a fascinating perspective on things. There were rumors, by the way, when a court case was brought before the U.S. Supreme Court some years ago on Obamacare, that Justice Roberts, who was a key swing vote on the, it could have gone either way. He had been opposed to Obamacare up until the Supreme Court case, and then right when it was heard, he switched really quickly and said that the Obamacare was legal as a tax. But there were rumors that that was done to him, that he was threatened, and suddenly that's what changed his mind. I don't know. I don't have any evidence, but that was the rumors I heard.
Well, what we can say, Ted, is that if you look at the huge fight over Trump's nominee for Supreme Court,
right.
It is one of the key positions in the armory, not just of a president, but
right.
of the system.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, if you appoint somebody to a position and that person is not blackmailable and that person cannot be corrupted, then the bad people are going to want to stop that supreme judge.
Sure.
Because they only want supreme judges in positions that they know that they can pick up a phone and say, you better do this, or we'll release this video we've got of you, or we'll release this, whatever it is. Now, that judge that they fought over so hard, they couldn't blackmail.
Mm.
If they had, they would have brought that out. So
right.
what we've got is we've got, you know, a few people in key positions, regardless of their political persuasions, who are not corruptible. And, you know, but I have to tell you all that the vast majority of these lawmakers, there are pressures put on them because, you know, they through, I don't know, indiscretions or they've been set up.
Sure.
But that is how it's run. And that's how governments control their lawmakers, because otherwise you're asking 300, 400, 500 people to make a law.
Right.
And it's like a corporation.
Mm-hmm.
You don't just have any old chief executive who could go crazy. You make
right.
sure that you control your chief executive.
Right.
And, you know, corporate America is no different from, say, a corporate finance business bank.
Sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. This brings into us lots of different subjects. I have a question from David in Yelm, Washington. And his question is about human cloning. I'll just read it for you. The Andromeda contactee Alex Collier talked about the cloning of important world individuals in the mid-1990s, and he named some names at the time. He paid a heavy price for this and no longer lists any names. And he asked, what about the history and current status of human cloning and by extension, life extension? And there's a second related question really quick. I had Randy Kramer from the Secret Space Program on my show last July. And he talked about the secret space program extending the lives of scientists from the 40s and 50s, including Nazi scientists, which are still alive now. They'll give them, if somebody's, for example, 80 or 90 years old, they will regress them back to the 30s or 20s so that they'll keep living and be of useful to the secret space program.
I'm not 100% on that one.
Okay.
In terms of the secret space program, I thought they were just being put into clone bodies.
Mm.
What he seems to be describing there is some form of regeneration
right.
and reduction of the aging process that
right.
I have no knowledge of.
Okay.
But I have full knowledge of a person's identity being lifted out of an old body
okay.
and placed into either a younger body, an organic body, or indeed a cloned body. Interestingly enough, today on the news, they were the scientists were quite excited that they had got some very, very early stages, as they were talking about it, but hybridization of a human and animal.
Yeah.
And that was, you know, so they say, so they can grow organs and things like that. But this reminds me of the H.G. Wells book called The Island of Dr. Morrow, which I think was written in 1897. Mm-hmm. And in H.G. Wells's book, there's this island where this mad doctor, Dr. Morrow, is, you know, vivisection, he's cutting up people and, you know, putting them on so you've got a monkey's head on top of a human body. Now, yes, that's crazy, but you know, here we are in 2019, and they're actually now saying they are growing in a laboratory, even though it is at a very small level, but a human and an animal, and it's working together. So I think, you know, where are the fundamental Christian groups?
Right.
Why aren't they out now absolutely condemning that? Because you try and find any passage in the Bible that would say that was a good thing.
Right.
To mix human and animal. Now, why is it that some very, very outspoken groups can go out and on the most mundane news items, they go and get very excited? But here we have an absolute fundamental threat to the human race, which is the hybridization of an animal and a human.
Right.
Where are the laws controlling that? So,
right.
Space program, absolutely, scientists. But I think that my personal knowledge is they're put into a cloned body. I think he's talking sense. I think that's by and large is exactly what I would agree with.
Yeah, it's very interesting what's going on. And from what I know of Atlantis and its history, and I'd love your comment on this too, is that the Atlanteans, from what I'm told, Simon, created human and a hybrid human and dolphins to create mermen and mermaids, to get shellfish for them, and then after Atlantis imploded 12,500 years ago, those populations were still left, and there are still pods of those mermaids and mermen in the world's oceans. There's actually several pods here in Washington State near Seattle, and I've actually seen them in the ocean and talked to them telepathically as well. So it raises a lot of interesting issues.
I mean, I have not had the privilege of seeing anything like that. I certainly am aware that the high culture of Atlantis far exceeded anything that we've got. It really did. Mm-hmm. And as a divine feminine culture, mm-hmm. for many, many years, it was almost, you know, bliss. It was almost heaven. And then it went sadly wrong.
Right.
And that was mainly to do with technology overcoming spirituality. That was the danger there. But I haven't seen, you know, what you've described, but in terms of the experimentation that was going on, yes, absolutely.
Fascinating. I'd like to go back. I've had several questions come in, Simon, about the government shutdown.
Yeah.
I've been told that the funds were already appropriated years ago under the Obama administration. They're still there, and there are other reasons for the shutdown. What do you think the real reasons are?
Well, a lot of people got very excited, Ted, and mm-hmm. they didn't. Not being disrespectful, most mm-hmm. people didn't understand what was going on. Mm-hmm. Not surprising, mm-hmm. because it's very hard to discern the truth. Most people thought, 30 days, pink papers. You know, start to lay off federal employees. That's what it's all about. No, it's not.
Mm-hmm.
This shutdown will go on much longer than that. Mm. This is about a reset of federal government. Mm. It's not anything to do with the barrier across from Mexico to the United States. That's just a cover.
Mm-hmm.
This will go on at least for 2 months, this shutdown. It could go on for 3 months. Now, I know for any federal employees are pulling their hair out, but mm-hmm. the reason for this is that people really genuinely don't know mm-hmm. is that President Trump has ordered a secret, it's an inventory of the Federal Reserve Bank.
Really?
He's actually okay. asked... He hasn't asked the bank because they wouldn't do it, mm-hmm. but he's got underway an inventory to actually work out how much gold there is in America. He's actually asked the Fed to show what reserves they're sitting on. Now, when those results come out, now we have to talk about if they come out, because there will be one heck of a battle to prevent them coming out. But right. I believe it'll show that the United States is bankrupt. I believe it will show that the amount of real hard cash is nothing more than a fraction of the outgoings and the cost to run corporate America, and it's all being run on borrowing and just the hope that tomorrow the money will come in. Now, when that happens, that is the long planned for reset. That will spark the reset. If you've got a federal government that's been in shutdown for 2 months, right, it will then move on to the next stage, which is amalgamation of departments. You see, this has been planned for a very long time in advance. Again, maybe your audience aren't aware that the United States military have had a special budget put aside to pay for them during any shutdown. And although, yes, there are some departments of Homeland Security where the guys aren't being paid, but those crucial areas, there has been a war fund, a war chest that has been placed away. So this was planned months and months ago. There's a special budget that's been set aside. You know, your military are all being paid. The key elements of the internal security of America are being paid for, because whoever organized the payments in advance is also organizing this shutdown so that they can start to cleanse corporate America from the inside. That's what's going on.
Fascinating. Well, thank you, Simon. I appreciate that comment. That's fascinating. You had a post on your website about revolution in Venezuela. I'd love your comments on that.
This time it's nothing to do with Democrats and Republicans.
Right.
It doesn't matter whether you're a Democrat or Republican.
Right.
The system hates communists. Mm-hmm. That's the bottom line.
Wow.
And the difficulty is that the leader of Venezuela is a socialist. Now, these are European or international words, which Americans don't have given to them very often. Right. A socialist is not a communist.
Right.
Okay, but a socialist will have policies which are anti-capitalist. So what you've got at the moment is a situation in one of the richest countries in South America, and in fact the finance house, the stock exchange in Venezuela, is probably the third or fourth most powerful stock exchange anywhere in the world. People don't really realize that. But it's not worked, and there's terrible food shortages, there's gas shortages, there's a problem. And the American administration has come out and said it is supporting the opposition, and there's beginning to be a coup and a revolution. Now let's go back to the good old days of Ronald Reagan and Ollie North, and all you did was you just put a load of helicopters in with CIA insurgents, and you started a war and a revolution. That's what you did under those good old days. It's not quite the same now, but what's happening is that there's a definite move to remove a president of a country, and it's on your doorstep.
Wow. Well, I hate to say this, but it's been done before here in the Americas, and I
absolutely,
you know, I think people all over the world have a right to determine the kind of government they want without outside interference. And there have been rumors that if there is an intervention in Venezuela, it's because not so much because of democracy, but because of the oil and resources that some companies can obtain, and not necessarily.
Right. That, sorry to interrupt you, Ted. That's really important. I wasn't going to bring it up, but you have.
Okay.
What's happening at the moment? There are three countries in the world which are now jockeying for position.
Okay.
And I mean much more than I say. In other words, United States of America, or Russia, and China. What's happening is, as we move towards a global reset, and that is still on the cards, what's happening is that these three countries are looking outside of their own country to grab as much real estate as they can to claim it, so that when the reset occurs, they can then access these resources. So you've got, particularly in Africa, where you've got very precious heavy rare metals, oil.
Right.
You've got, as you said, what's happening in Venezuela, China. They're all at it. So when the curtain comes down, they will not just say, what do we control in our own country, but where have we got outposts, and we'll claim where we've got now. And that's what's going on. They're attempting to rake in whatever they can now.
This has been an issue with the Hollow Earth. I have a lot of different sources, including those from the Hollow Earth, and they've been telling me for years that eventually there will be this global reset will include a currency reset as well, and they've recommended certain currencies to invest in. And they said that as a result that some of these currencies, for example, the North Vietnamese currency, will go skyrocketing once the reset happens. Do you see anything like that happening in the future, Simon, as part of this global reset?
Right. Well, if and we're still if, you know, we have to see how humanity wants to take this. But if the global reset does occur as it's supposed to occur, anything that is controlled by the standard bank in terms of Rothschild will devalue and lose money. Any finance or money that is not controlled by the Rothschilds will actually increase. Now, what you're saying there is that those countries, and there's precious few of them, who run a currency that is not part of the Rothschild banking system, they just won't collapse. Let's just call it a pencil. We're just going to call a pencil. We'll say one pencil is worth $1.
Okay.
So when the reset comes through, the pencil is worth a pencil, no matter what happens to the dollar, because if that banking system is not part of the same trade organization, it can't collapse. So I can't say to you this country or that country, but what I can say to you, even things like electronic currencies, bitcoins, would be affected by a global reset. People tend to think that this Bitcoin or any of these other traded electronic currencies will be exempt from it. No, they won't. They will actually suffer just as much as anything else.
Interesting. And when this happens, Simon, I have to ask you, we've got another question that just came in. What will happen to the so-called Federal Reserve, which is not federal, it's owned by private banks, and it's not a reserve either?
No, it's a method of selling back debt to the public and loaning money to the government, who then has to buy it back again with debt from the people. It's the most amazing trick that anyone ever played, and you've had some very brave presidents who banned it and then either got killed or got talked out of doing it. So there's a history here, and think about the situation with the Titanic and the Titanic's sister ship, because that was all mixed up with J.P. Morgan and with the Federal Reserve. That's why the Titanic sister ship was sunk. And, of course, they blamed it. They said it was a Titanic. It wasn't. It was a sister ship. Anyway, we're going off the point. The issue here is that in a world that spiritual people want, there is no need for a Federal Reserve. I want to see a world, and this may sound like, you know, this dreamer speaking again to you, but I want to see a world where banks charge 1% interest. I think that's fair. I think you go in and you get a loan for a motor car, and they give you the money and they charge 1% interest because they have to pay their staff, they have to pay the paperwork. But I think you don't need your stock and bond holders. You don't need all the hangers-on, all the huge advertising. I open my Sunday papers and I see double page spreads which have costs maybe £100,000, what's that, $70,000-$80,000, to advertise. Let's just say it's a really expensive perfume or a really expensive watch. Well, you know what? Rather than spend £3 or £4 million a year advertising it, why don't you just drop the price of your watch? This is the point. This is the trap that humans are in. It's that there's this huge amount of hype and sell because they are trying to feed the very top of the pyramid, the top of the food chain, which these people at the very top have got used to a certain lifestyle. And they're not really prepared to drop their lifestyle. They're not prepared to rein it in or tighten the belt. And that's what's going to happen with a reset, because there'll be no need for the top of the tier. Well, why would you do that? So they're the ones that are fighting tooth and nail. They don't want these changes because they'll have no job. It'd be like somebody who's never worked in their life because they had multi-billions and they're turning up at the labor exchange and the guy says, okay, what can you do? And the man says, I can make money. Oh, well, we're not interested in that. Can you dig a garden? Here's a spade. And the rich man scratches his head and he says, what's a spade?
Wow. Amazing.
So, you
amazing.
Know, that's yeah. where we're going. And no wonder these people are fighting like mad not yes. to go down.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's amazing. I just had another question come in about silver and gold. What do you think will happen to the metals? And is Trump still interested in having a silver-backed currency?
Well, he's got the silver.
Okay.
He has the silver. There's enough silver there.
Right.
But the interesting news that I got 3 months ago was right. that they the military working with whoever had done quite a good job and had brought in more gold than was projected. Mm. So there was a breath of there was a sigh of contentment because they felt that they'd this critical mass they'd actually got. They weren't as desperate as they thought. This is nothing to do with the Federal Reserve. This is about another organization holding a reserve of gold for the American people, mm-hmm. for the Constitution, mm-hmm. nothing to do with the Fed. And mm-hmm. as a result of that, it could go either way. We could either have a gold-backed currency in America on a reduced level, we could have a silver-backed currency, or we could have a combination of the two. Mm-hmm. What is really important here is how some of these power organizations in China wish to work it, because on the cards at the moment there could be two forms of currency, mm-hmm. one for China and those countries aligned with China, mm-hmm. and one for the other countries who are not aligned with China. In other words, you're dividing the earth down the middle, two types of currency. We don't know how it will go yet, but there's some really big moves in the offing. How it will affect profit and trade is anyone's guess at the moment. As we get nearer to that period, I think we'll have more information.
Fascinating. Just fascinating. What an exciting time to be alive, isn't it, Simon?
Yes, it really is. Yeah. It's positive.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You had a post on your website I wanted to ask you about Rudolf Hess, that that a new report stated that Adolf Hitler's deputy, Rudolf Hess, was not replaced by a body double in Spandau Prison. I'd love your comments on that.
Maybe most listeners aren't really familiar with this. It was a big deal for Britain because Rudolf Hess was Adolf Hitler's number one deputy. He was the guy who would take over if Hitler took a bullet. So he was very, very senior.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened in 1941, according to the information that is publicly known, was that for some strange reason, Hess jumped into an aeroplane.
Mm-hmm.
flew out of Germany and parachuted, for goodness sake, parachuted over Scotland and was arrested by local soldiers and went to Nuremberg. Here's the point.
Mm-hmm.
He was cleared of genocide. He was cleared of war crimes.
Mm.
The crime that I didn't even know there was a crime, the crime he had was something, the exact wording was something like working against peace.
What? It's
absolutely ludicrous. Absolutely
really?
Ludicrous. There were people there who had real blood on their hands, mm-hmm. and they were sentenced to 20 or 30 years. Mm-hmm. And he jumped out, before Germany and Russia were at war. So couldn't be responsible for anything on that side. You could argue that he was responsible for everything up to the moment he jumped out of his aeroplane.
Mm-hmm.
But the Nuremberg trials cleared him of any direct involvement in murder.
Wow.
But still put him in a prison until he died, and he was, 95, 96 when he died. So the questions have always been asked, why would you hold someone from 1941 in prison right up until the guy was over 95 years old? And the reason is that he was going to give or could give names which would have implicated some very, very key people working on a secret cabal government trying to arrange deals with Hitler.
Hmm.
And it was not fashionable for those deals to come out. And Rudolf Hess's own private physician in Spandau jail, so his own doctor, always said, this is not the same man. He said, this isn't Rudolf Hess.
Hmm.
Wow. There's no way. So there's a professional medical doctor saying that the guy I'm treating is not the guy I was treating last week. So there's been all of this cover up. And that's why it was notable, because I think that there was a very close deal between parts of Great Britain and Adolf Hitler, which could have brought Britain on the side of Germany.
Oh, my goodness.
And then you would have had a war with Germany and Britain fighting America and Russia. Seems inconceivable.
Oh, my goodness.
But why else would the deputy leader leap out of his aeroplane and parachute down to a – he was landing on a very rich person's house. He basically had a contact. So fascinating story.
Wow. Wow. Do you think the true story, the truth of that will eventually come out in this time of truth, Simon?
To be honest with you, Ted, if we get the truth about little green men and flying saucers, everything else is possible. Because the whole argument of disclosure, that is the biggest point. If that is cracked and even just a fragment of that as a truth is released, then everything else can come out, because there's nothing as important as alien races interacting with our governments for many, many years.
This brings another question. Simon, you've talked before about us shifting into the fourth and then quickly into the fifth dimension by 2025 or earlier even, 2023.
Yep.
And Nostradamus, in my conversations with him, has told me that once we make that shift into the fifth dimension, language itself will become secondary and people will simply be able to read each other's minds. And so when that happens, it'll be impossible to tell anybody a lie about anything. Politicians will have to become honest, or else.
Well, let me bring it back to the world of money.
Okay.
Because that's what we are in, a third dimensional world.
Correct.
This is why we have to have this huge spiritual revolution, because of the implication of what you've just said, Ted. Mm-hmm. What you've just said is the death of the cell phone. If you are telepathic, you do not need a cell phone. Think of the billions and billions that are made out of every nation for cell phone manufacture and sale and running the charges on having your call plans.
Right.
Think of all the men, there are some women, but they're mostly men who sit on the tier upon tier of boards, stock markets. Thus is why these people do not want the human race to evolve, because when we evolve, we do not need to rely on these technological gadgets. And that is an empire of finance gone.
Fascinating. Well, isn't it true that the reptilians, because they're cut off from source or the supreme being, they rely much upon technology, where in contrast, humans are powerful spiritual beings and we have that capability of communicating telepathically, so we don't need the technology that other species do.
Yes, but we're being forced it. We're being brainwashed into believing that we need it. So that's one thing.
I
hear you. I'm not going to answer. Yes, that's absolutely right, Ted. What I'm going to say is, it's not too late for the reptilians to change. It's not too late. It's not yet midnight. The hands are not quite on the 12. And of course, you're absolutely right, Ted, you are. But what's really important here is there is still time for a group or a race to see the error of its ways and change.
Yeah.
Because humanity does have the connection to Godhead.
Right.
We absolutely do have that connection. And we're going there, come hell or high water, we are going up to the fifth dimension.
That's true.
And it's really sad to see others who have chosen not to do it. So I say to them, you know, make the choice, change for the better. It's a bit like that play, you know, Christmas Carol with Scrooge, where the three ghosts come to Scrooge and they give him this opportunity time and time again to change his ways. And in the end, he does. Mm-hmm. You know, so, yeah, that's my position on it, really.
There was a funny segment I played a few weeks ago on my show. If we can find it today, I'll play it again. But it was from Star Trek, where Captain Picard says resistance is futile. And that's how I look at rising into the higher dimensions. Resistance is futile because that's where planet Earth is going. And if you, and if for those entities who want to cling to the old ways of negativity, they're not going to be allowed here. They'll be going to another Earth-like planet on the other side of the solar system, which is in the lower part of the third dimension, where they can evolve and hopefully make the right choices to eventually ascend one day themselves.
Yes, and I say often to my clients when I'm working with them, I say when things are very difficult, you're not actually responsible for anyone else.
Right.
If they're children, that's somewhat different. But, you know, we can't take the pain of others. They must make the choice. We can advise them.
Right.
We can point them in the right direction.
Right.
But if they don't choose to hear us, that's for them.
Right. And I guess this gets back to what would your best advice be to listeners today listening to your wonderful interview, Simon, on how to make this world a better place?
Well, surprisingly, they can do more now than they could just a few months ago.
Hmm.
There is a real opening up now right across the planet. There's a real move. People are now wanting to hear fresh and new ideas. People are no longer laughing in the same way that they did about information, which just a few months ago people would not be interested in.
Sure.
There's a real need now to take the moral high ground,
mm-hmm.
to stand forward. And we're not preaching religion. What we're saying is you need to understand that the world you're living in is not the picture you're being painted.
Sure.
And you have every opportunity now with the technology available to break the paradigm, get out of the box and start researching it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's there for people. The evidence is there. And this is what's so crazy, that
yeah.
you don't even have to leave your front room.
Right.
You can actually access the truth. The question is whether people are brave enough, or are they still living in fear? Are they brave enough to come out and do it, or are they so fearful
mm-hmm.
that they'd rather just be in a decreasing circle until boop, they're gone? And as you said, they end up in some rather sad part of the universe.
Right. Right. Well, this is each Mayan Ketun cycle is 25,800 years. And I know I've waited 52,000 years or two Mayan Ketun cycles for this moment. And I wouldn't miss it for the world. And many of us have volunteered to come down to this planet and make it a better place. And I want to thank you, Simon, so much for your wonderful work. You're helping to raise consciousness and make this world a better place.
Thank you, Ted.
Yeah, my pleasure. My pleasure. We've got about 2 minutes left, 3 minutes left, and I wanted to tell you that, Simon, so you can wrap up your wonderful interview today.
Right, well, I'll get it right this time, because the last two times I've been talking and you've had to cut me off,
I'm
Ted.
I'm so sorry. I apologize, my friend.
It's not your fault. It's me. Some of these topics are so important. How do you just limit them within a few minutes? You can't, but we have to do the best we can.
Sure.
So basically, I'm sorry that I didn't manage to speak to everyone last show. I'm so glad to be back on and talking to everyone.
These are
exciting times.
Mm-hmm.
The situation in America is critical. And, you know, do please listen out for announcements. All I can just say is that, you know, this is the year. If we don't do it in 2019, I'm afraid we'll probably be back again in another 26,000 years. So we've got to do it this year.
26,000 years. That's a long time. I don't know.
That's a procession.
That's a long time. That's a long time. Well, Simon, thank you so much for coming on today, my friend. I always enjoy listening to you, and I look forward to having you on next week, I hope.
Yeah, and I finished on time, Ted, so that's
okay,
brilliant.
Wonderful.
Thank you. God bless.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Simon, and have a beautiful, beautiful weekend there.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Take care. With that, I've asked my producer, Eric, to play Resistance is Futile from Star Trek, if he can find it. I didn't give him any advance notice. He's a wonderful producer. But things are changing, and they're getting better. And the key is, don't listen to anything negative in the media, because we do create our reality. We are powerful spiritual beings, and we have the ability to create a beautiful future for ourselves. And as they said on Star Trek, resistance is futile. So with that,
resistance is futile. Your life as it has been is over.
Anyway, it's just a funny thing. But With that, if we have time, Eric, if we could play the Aquarius by the Fifth Dimension, that would be great. I appreciate you so much. During the next hour, I'm having on Aurelien Rado to talk about fairies and orbs. He's photographed them at his house here in Seattle, and they have messages for humanity as well. So that'll be fascinating. He'll be followed by Nathalie St. Tours, who's written a beautiful book. She's been talking for years to Mother Mary, God, if you will, Jesus, and Lord Melchizedek, and she has many beautiful messages in her new book that was just published. So anyway, so please stay tuned for our next hour, and I'd like to play this to Aquarius for our new age that's coming for all of us.